Well, good morning. I trust that you can all say that you can sing of your Redeemer. What a blessing. Truly is good to be here again this morning. We do want to thank all those that helped yesterday at the roofing project. Did that get completed? Okay. It was close, though. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank the Lord that we could do that. Trust that was a blessing. There's a verse I'd like us, or a couple verses I'd like us to consider here. First off, Lamentations 3:21 through 24. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion and my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. I trust you can recall to mind and therefore have hope in him. That is why we're here this morning, because of the work that he has done for us. And we want to rejoice in that this morning. I'd like to continue in Galatians chapter 5, where I had left off last time. Before we do that, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to again come together here. I thank you for the health of each one that's here. I pray for those that were not able to make it because of sickness. Just be near them, bless them, protect them, strengthen and encourage them. Father, I pray that what is said and done here would be honor glorifying to you. Pray, Father, for your protection, for your peace, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Aaron and Zachary Andrew, yeah. We just hand out the papers. I have some papers here we're going to hand out that we'll go over here some of this in detail this morning, having to do with the sins of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Two very real things. Hopefully the fruit of the Spirit is very real in your life, and we have to acknowledge that the flesh is there. And even though we are saved, we still deal with the flesh. If you have your Bibles open to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. We had talked about the law the last time, and we are looking to the Spirit to guide us and not the law. But in so doing, we have a lot of things that we have to face in our lives, and we'll look at some of that this morning. The flesh, by the way, is not the physical part of the body, but the moral and spiritual weakness and helplessness of human nature that is still clinging to redeemed souls. I think Paul mentions in Romans chapter 7, I'm not going to read all that now, but in Romans chapter 7, 7 to 25, he talks about that battle with the flesh. We don't lose the old nature when we become saved, in the sense that suddenly we don't have to face temptation or deal with the things of the flesh. We gain a new nature, and then we have a desire to live a new life in the Spirit. The word walk is in the present tense and speaks of regular, continuous action. We are continuing to move ahead. All people experience a measure of moral conflict within, but Christians find the conflict within, I think, a little extra fierce and unremitting. That's why sometimes we look around, I believe, and we think these people of the world, they just keep going. And obviously, yes, they have a lot of problems, and there's a lot of hurt inside that we don't see. But you wonder how they keep going. Well, they have the flesh, and they're feeding the flesh, and they don't have the spirit. And so that is the conflict that we have as Christians, and it's very real. However, as we learn to walk in the Spirit, the flesh becomes increasingly subdued. The Holy Spirit has been given to enable us to gain victory over enslavement to sin. So we're going to take some time and look at the lists here this morning. I must admit, as we read through the list of the flesh, some of these things, as I was going through this, are just too real in my life. And I think we can all kind of relate to that. Sometimes it's different for different ones in different places at different times in life. But we still have the flesh and we still deal with that. So often we read through this list, and part of the reason I'd like to take the time to look through it, because especially if you're used to reading in the King James, we read through these lists and we just go through some of these things and we sort of know what they are, but we don't really know what they are. And sometimes maybe we don't really want to know what they are, because then that opens up even more of a battle, because we have to face reality. If we are honest, we soon realize that none of us have completely mastered all of these things. It does not mean that you're not saved. It often means, and it's a good reminder for us, that we need to walk in the Spirit and we need to get closer to the Lord when we go through these things and realize what it is that we're facing. It's not a bad thing to be reminded. Not a bad thing to face these things and take them to the Lord and get closer to Him to help us through them. It's not a reason to give up hope, but a reason to run to Jesus and the shed blood. Remember, it's the shed blood that has and does cover over the things and gives us reason to rejoice and power to live in the Spirit. I think Brother Jim mentioned that this morning. We do have a power, and that power comes from God. So I'd like to start here in verse 19 of chapter 5. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We just were given a whole mouthful and a whole mindful of things to think about there. Part of the reason I handed out those papers and I laid that out there on papers is to help us better walk through this as we go through it. As we can see there, it says, and the like. So the list that he gives here is not complete, but it sure gives us a reality check and a reason to remember that we still have the flesh and we still need to be close to Jesus every day. I am thankful that I can run to Jesus when these things hit and we can know that He is there. He does not leave us nor forsake us, and He cares. this list that I got here, or the way this is laid out, I actually got from Brother Harold Martin's commentary. Some of you are familiar with him. But that's where I got this list as far as how it's laid out there. The list obviously comes out of the Word, but just the way it is laid out and the way we'll go through it here. The first one is the deeds of impurity. The sins of impurity include adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. Anybody who goes or lives around or lives in this world knows how prevalent these things are today. Seeing them in the world is not a sin. Dwelling on them and feeding the flesh is a sin. And I'd just like to make it very clear this morning that just because you stumble in one of these areas or more than one of these areas from time to time doesn't mean that you're not saved. It means that the flesh is still there, and it means that we need to keep running to Jesus. It just proves that in ourselves, we're nothing. Just as the law was given in the Old Testament, so we are given things in the New Testament to help us along and to remind us and to encourage us what to avoid and what to run after. So the first one there is adultery. That speaks of sexual relations on the part of those who are married. There are several forms of adultery. There's the physical, which is talked about in Leviticus 18:20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. And then there's the mental, which involves fantasizing or saturating the mind with illicit thoughts. And then there's legalized adultery, which includes the remarriage of one who is divorced when the original partner is still living. Most of these, or I should say all of these, are rampant in today's society. And they become rampant even within the church today. As we know, just because the ungodly government has legalized divorce and then the church followed suit does not mean that it is right. The government also legalized, as we know, homosexuality, smoking marijuana, alcoholic drinks, gambling. That does not make all that right. Just another reason to realize the government is not the church and does not properly decide for the church what is right or wrong. I remember my mother telling me this would have happened in the last 80 years, gets longer and longer, but there was a neighbor not too far from them that one evening the police came and hauled a man out of the house because he wasn't married to that woman and he wasn't supposed to be there. And that was where society was at that time. We are far from that today. When God established the home, he designed that one man should live with one woman, and the two should become one flesh. This sin of adultery is not a trivial matter, even though it has been accepted in many ways around the country, around the world, and sadly to say, in many churches. Next one is fornication. Speaks of sexual relations among the unmarried. And again, very common and accepted in society today. And as we know, it is not accepted as okay in God's eyes. Uncleanness describes those who may not necessarily commit outward acts of immorality, but whose thoughts and desires are unclean. Uncleanness is stimulated by reading pornographic literature, dwelling on obscene pictures, and telling smutty, suggestive stories. It is aggravated further by the present-day emphasis on wearing less and less. and exposing more and more. And as you know, you don't have to go far in this society to see it. There is stuff that is freely open and given in your normal shopping malls or grocery stores that at one day I think would have been called not acceptable, possibly pornography. It just keeps going and getting worse and worse, and that's why we need to turn our eyes away from those things. Lewdness, lasciviousness is the other word for that in the King James word, I believe. And that's one of those words where we can read and kind of skim over and not really have to think about, because in today's society, how many times do you hear the word lasciviousness being used? It's kind of even hard to say. Speaks of uncontrolled lust. Individuals can be guilty of uncleanness, but when they become lewd, they become so immoral that they shock public decency by their conduct. They no longer care about what man or God thinks. And today it gets pretty hard to shock public decency. Number two, let's look at sins of idolatry. These include idolatry and sorcery. The idolatry is the act of giving the principal place in our affections to something other than the true and living God. These things include items of stone, chrome, glass, steel, fashion, money, and success. And there's more things than that, but those are some of them. And as you know, some of them include a pretty wide range of things. All things that in this society we can easily get caught up in. You know what it is that you personally deal with. Let us be aware of these things and make sure that God is first place in our life. A good picture, I think a good place to start or consider is, what is your desire when you wake up in the morning? Do you desire to live for the Lord that day, or do you desire to go about your own selfish ways? We're very familiar with the story there in Luke 12, verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And that part in itself may not have been that bad. But then he goes on, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thou shalt be required of thee, thy soul shall be required of thee, whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Being rich towards God, that's what's so important. Keeping our eyes on him, doing things for him. As you go throughout the day, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to do what we do as unto the Lord. Next thing is witchcraft or sorcery. Today the word sorcery refers to those who claim to have superhuman powers, abilities to cause spells, to use magic, and to attain certain secret knowledge gleaned from evil spirits. The Israelites were surrounded by pagan cultures using these practices, but were prohibited to use or allow sorcerers, spiritists, and mediums to be used in their circles. There's all kinds of stuff out there today with the New Age movement. There's just many things. There's things that have been around for years. Some of them you have heard. Some of them have tempted that have been part of things that I was aware of when I was growing up that were sneaking into lives and into people's lives that they were unaware of. the Ouija board or the eight ball or other things commonly sneak in as harmless, but should not be used. A study shows that 20% of Americans believe that the living can communicate with the dead. The popular Harry Potter books place an emphasis on witchcraft. We just need to be very careful what we allow coming into our homes. We need to look at these things and not just say, yeah, it doesn't matter. What's the difference? It's one thing or the other. There's a big difference, so we need to pay attention to these things and not allow them in our homes and in our lives. Remember, just because the world or the government seems to allow and accept anything does not make it okay. Number three, the sins of hostility. Hatred, strong dislike, a feeling of ill will towards another person. We must be more diligent of using the word hatred only for hating wrong and not for hating individuals. I'm sure that you hear that in the world. I hate that person. We have to be very careful what we hate. We need to hate sin, but we need to love individuals. Contentions or variance. This is one that has caused much trouble in the church, and if not careful, we can be so guilty of. This can easily come into the church and cause much separation among the brotherhood. Jealousies are emulations, as King James says it, a term that speaks of those who desire to surpass others. This speaks of a grudging resentment that envies the fortunes of others. Another sneaky one that we must be very diligent in watching and being careful in our lives. Outbursts of wrath. This speaks of violent forms of anger. It represents storms of uncontrolled temper. It pictures the person who loses control when the focusing on one another's weaknesses or faults, we can find many reasons why we should not be part of or leave a specific fellowship. So my encouragement is to not focus on each other's faults. We do need to confront sin. We do need to deal with that. But we need to love, and we need to be committed to one another. And if we're leaving a fellowship, we need to be sure we know why we're doing it. Heresies, an opinion, doctrine, or practice contrary to the truth or to generally accepted beliefs or standards. There are some people that are always trying to dream up something new. Some things sound interesting, and then people get caught up in ideas that are not really true, but cannot really be proved wrong so easily. All Christians, when listening to teaching and preaching, need to take a lesson from the Bereans, who searched the scriptures daily to find out what things were really true. If as much time was spent on living out things that we know are true, that we know are in the Word, instead of arguing and trying to prove things that are of little or no value, we may be proving to the world real Christianity. 2 Timothy 2:1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. The next one is envy. Is a resentful desire for another's possessions or advantages. It's closely related to the words jealousies or emulations. Envy is always bad, whereas jealousies are not always bad. The word envy is a totally evil concept. The word jealousy may resent the good fortune of others, but the word envy used here is so resentful that it may plot to destroy the other person. And there's a variety of ways that that can be done. When we envy someone, it's amazing what we can talk about or how we can talk about them to try to make them look bad in some way, shape, or form. So we have to be very careful about that. What are our reasons about why we are coming against something or somebody? Murders is a reminder that snuffing out a human life involves more than sticking a knife into another person. It's possible to cast looks that are filled with murder and to speak words that are intended to slay. Okay, and number four, sins of intemperance. Drunkenness, I think most of us know what that is, a condition by the drinking of alcoholic beverages. Drunkenness is not a disease, it is a sin. Over 16 million American adults and over 700,000 adolescents meet the benchmark for an alcoholic use disorder. Now, I looked up those numbers. I am assuming that they are correct. There's all kinds of studies on that kind of thing. I personally don't know that, so I'm taking that from what I looked up. During the Vietnam War, 50,000 American soldiers were killed. That sounds like a lot of people. During that same period, it is said that five times that number, 250,000 people, were killed in the United States in automobile accidents alone related to drunken drivers. This should cause us to not even consider trying to question whether it's acceptable for us to have social drinking. Again, if we were as concerned about living sober Christian lives that show the world Christ's love, we would not have the time to consider feeding our flesh with alcoholic drinks or substances that ruin our bodies.
revelries is a term that is generally associated with carousing and debauchery. The word is translated in different versions as carousing, wild parties, horsing around. Revelries speaks of disorderly merrymaking, including celebrations that are typically wild parties. That is a great contrast of the scripture that we can read in 1 Peter 3:4. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Or Titus chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God might not be blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. Those are pretty, some pretty clear words there of how we are supposed to act and be, and not be involved in things that would make the world question who we are. Back to the end of the list of things of the flesh, Paul concludes the list with saying, and such like. I had mentioned that earlier. There are many things, many other things, many other works that we need to be considering, and not just doing things that feed the flesh. Verse 21, we see here, people that practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are serious things that we need to be considering. And if we know other people that are living these ways, we need to encourage them the ways of the truth. And I trust that our fellowship will be one that people can look at and say, they have been with Jesus. They take the word seriously. They care about what the word says. Also, notice in verse 21, it says, people who do such things. We must be careful, or Satan will try to trip us up on this. I would like us to consider what that really means. The tense of the verb translated do, or as translated in other versions, practice or habitually continue in these fleshly sins rather than an isolated falling into evil. Those who keep practicing such sins are not being led by God's Spirit and are warned that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's a difference between falling into sin and living in sin, or pursuing sin. True children of God hate these sins and shrink from them. I don't think Paul put this stuff in here to scare us. He didn't put this stuff in here to bring despair, because God knows that sin and wickedness is still there trying to get us. And it's not his intent to make us fearful. He rather wanted us to see the heinous character of sin and be led by the Spirit to repentance and mortification of the flesh. I mentioned this before, I think several times, not today, but the different things that God has in his word that he wants us to do, or he wants us to pay attention to, is things that he knows are going to hurt us. He put it there so that we take it seriously and so that we pay attention and do the things that we are supposed to do for our good and for his honor and glory. I thank the Lord for the fellowship of believers who are here to encourage one another and not to tear each other down. When we have the attitude that we are better than everyone else, that is pride. And we end up just as bad as the other people we think we are better than. I think the next thing we're going on to here is the fruit of the Spirit. And I think I'm actually going to pause here and we'll get back to that because it's just going to get quite a bit longer than what I planned. But the fruit of the Spirit is wonderful. There's a lot of really good stuff there. In closing, I would like to leave us with these verses, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we walk in them. That's the opposite of those things that we were talking about. Titus 2, 11 through 13. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. I trust that's what you're looking for. I trust it's your desire to walk in the Spirit and to do what pleases Him, and then we can be a witness for God. Thank you for your time.